Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the FalconCast podcast. We are here in week five. If you can believe that, week five, your Falcons are 4-0. And I am Jay Adams, and alongside me, as always, Daniel Cox.
Yes. Time flies when you're 4-0.
It does. And it's fun, too.
Yes.
Winning's a good time, huh?
Yeah. Life is better when you're winning.
That's right. That's right. So let's talk about that fourth win. We've got a full podcast here for you coming up. We'll get to our, of course, now famous buy or sell segments, and we'll take some of your Twitter questions. But first, let's talk a little bit about that win. You know, it's kind of funny that a week ago when we sat down and spoke, I had made a point to say, you know, every time this team has the ball, I don't care what the score is, I always have faith that this team is going to win. I'm never feeling like this team is out of it. I'm never nervous. And boy, did they prove my point or what?
Yeah, it looks like you're not the only one that feels that way.
Yeah, that is true. But I sat here and I said, you know, I don't have those nervous feelings like, I don't think this team can hang with this team, or I don't think that they can come back regardless of what the point differential is. I think, you know, that game on Sunday, the 30-28 win over Carolina, I mean, just totally proved that. And I was shocked at the end of it, because that was the first thing I thought of was, wow.
Yeah.
It really is amazing to see the resiliency of this team. And you know, you've had a couple of games now where – or before that where you didn't have too much of a test. There was some adversity, of course.
Right.
But nothing like this where you've had to come back like this. And then you finally see it and you're like, that's exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah, and you hear stuff like that all the time. You know, good teams win. You know, even when they don't play their best, you know, the character of a team. I mean, the Falcons showed that, you know, that they've had great games, and then that was definitely not their best game. But, I mean, the Carolina Panthers came to play that day. I mean, and I think most people expected that, you know, the division rival aspect. I think that was to be expected. I don't think – I certainly didn't go into the game thinking it was going to be another blowout win. But, you know, I was watching that show on NBC Sports Network last night, Turning Point, and one of the great things right as the drive was happening, the final drive that we saw, I keep wanting to say we covered 99 yards. I keep making that mistake, but I'm just stuck on the fact that we started on the 1 yard line and we got where we needed to be. But they were showing some clips from the sidelines, and Dante Robinson looked at the camera and he was like, "We got this," you know.
He's see, like, they feel it.
Yeah, and that is awesome. That's a great. You know, you want everybody, all your players, to feel that way on any team. I think any fan base would say that. But I just feel like these guys really. They honestly believe that, and they have that confidence, and it's great to see that it, you know, it showed on the field.
Yeah, that confidence can easily translate into wins. I think that's what we're learning right now. Is mm-hmm. this is a team that believes in itself, and that belief goes a long way.
Absolutely.
If you don't believe that you can make a 59-yard pass down the field to Roddy White from your own end zone. From the 1 yard line,
end zone. In the end zone, no
you don't
doubt.
Try it.
Nah,
but I mean that's the
guts
thing.
Too. I mean that's a big pass.
That's a big time pass. Big time players make that pass.
Yeah. And I will never forget that. I was watching. You know, we were sitting there, and it really felt like it was in slow motion. That's the first time I've ever watched a game, a play like that in that moment. We've seen wins like that before. It honestly like. I'll never forget watching the ball. Like it kind of was sailing in our direction, and it really felt like it was in slow motion.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, and I was sitting there, and I did the same thing. And normally I'll watch the receiver, mm-hmm. but for some reason I was watching Matt, and I just watched the ball the entire way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. You know, and just to see Roddy come down with it was an amazing feeling. And of course, you know, you and I are up in the press box, so we can't cheer or anything like that.
The quiet fist pump.
Yes.
I elbowed you in the side about five times.
Yeah, when we have a game like that, you know, I remember back to 2010 when we had a lot of close games. Yeah. I would come home and I'd have black and blue marks on my arm from Daniel Cox's elbows, like, bah, just hitting you right in the arm.
Just in case you weren't
that's,
watching.
That's
the game.
Our way. Right, exactly. but that's our way of kind of celebrating out there because there's not much we can do. But, you know, that's a fun win. It's a lot of fun to get a win like that. However, we could very easily be talking about a loss this week.
Absolutely.
There's just, you know, Coach Smith said it 100 times, if he said it once, is that there's a lot of work left to do. And so we'll see where that goes with the next game. You know, obviously the Falcons have a chance for the first time in their history to be 5-0.
Right.
The start of season 5-0, heading up to Washington to face a Redskins team that, you know, you can't sleep on this one. Mm. You know, Robert Griffin III, the rookie quarterback up there, having just a great year. The Redskins, too, are coming off a final second, you know, win, mm-hmm. Able to down Tampa Bay, I believe it was 24-22,
yep.
On a last-minute field goal, and they got down the field, and RG3 was the one that got him there.
Oh, absolutely.
With his headset out, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know
Which
if you read
really
that
impressive.
Story. I mean, his communication just mysteriously vanished,
yeah.
On that last drive. So he had no coaches in his helmet telling him what to do. So, yeah. This is a kid that he's got an amazing future. And so he's going to be a really good test for this Falcons defense.
He's fun to watch, you know, and you're right. He took control. You know, one of the things I hear about him so often, and it was almost immediately when he, you know, when training camp started, one of the stories was, you know, RG3, you know, leader, you know, like these guys really buy into him, and he took control of that drive. And you're right, he was 4-for-4 passing on that drive, but he also scrambled for 15 yards.
Yeah, he's so dangerous in so many different ways.
And you know, they got the win, and I think that speaks volumes that he was able to, you know, do those play calls. He said you know, yesterday on the conference call, he said that was a scenario that they had practiced in practice, you know, him calling plays like that. And again, they were operating out of no huddle, so you know, some of that was built in there. But you know, he pulled it off, you know, and they definitely got a big boost from that too. So you know, no, I don't think there's any, you know, cloud nine feelings that the Falcons are going to walk into Washington after the kind of win they had and just expect to do something like that again when the Redskins had, you know, they basically did the same thing. So it's going to be a really interesting game. And I'm personally, just as a Falcon or a football fan, I'm looking forward to kind of, you know, get to see him because I haven't really watched him play, but I certainly hope he has a bad day. But you know,
yeah, we definitely hope that, but yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. This kid, and you talk about that last minute win, and I think as a quarterback that your confidence grows every time that you get one of those fourth quarter comeback wins. And you know, Matt's got what, 17 of them, mm-hmm. somewhere around there,
yeah.
And every time he gets one, you know, it's you can feel that confidence grow. And I think for a young quarterback like RG3 to get one within your first four games,
yeah,
I think that's a big confidence boost. And I really think that he's going to come in against the Falcons. Obviously, you know, this is a Washington team that feels like they've got something to prove. And who better to prove it than against an undefeated team through the first quarter of the season? So certainly a lot to pay attention to there. But, you know, the Falcons have some weapons too. I mean, Roddy White is playing out of his mind,
yeah.
And Matt Ryan is, I mean, what more can you say about him? Named offensive NFC offensive player of the month.
The decade.
Now I was going for day.
Okay.
He's always the NFC offensive player of the day. But the NFC offensive player of the month earlier today. You know, these guys on offense are just having an incredible year, and you know, you see as Matt Ryan goes, so do the Falcons, and I think, you know, that's something we've heard for a while. But you know, there are just so many different reasons for why this team is finding so much success early on. But I think, you know, on offense, you look at Matt Ryan, you look at Roddy White, you look at Julio Jones at the early part of the year. I mean, just playing absolute lights out football.
I'm Roddy White, just, he never, he, I kind of want to say he never fails to amaze me, but it's just I really feel like the season that he started this year is kind of going unnoticed a little bit. It's not getting a lot of talk. Like Ryan Matt's getting a lot of the talk from the Falcons offense, and understandably so. You know, the quarterback's going to draw the most attention, obviously, and he's had a great season so far, obviously with the Player of the Month award this announced today, but I just feel like Roddy is doing some really special things right now. That catch at the end of the game was it was really big. And Matt had to throw it, but I just feel like it was real.
But how about Roddy had made a couple of good catches in the end zone. Those the two touchdown passes that he had,
exactly.
Not easy catches.
No.
I mean. There was another one that he had earlier in the game that just kind of went off his hands that would have been a touchdown. But Roddy's just putting himself in all these different places to be successful, and a lot of that is, and I just talked to Julio Jones today about this, is just like these guys have been saying since training camp, who are you going to double team?
Mm-hmm.
All right, if you want to double Julio, if you want to double Tony, Roddy's going to be open.
Yeah.
Harry's going to be open. And that's exactly what happened against Carolina.
Yeah.
Is kind of like, you're forcing defenses to pick their poison. You're saying, okay, we're going to double so-and-so because we like our chances man on man with so-and-so. It's tough. And Matt Ryan is so good at finding those one-on-one matchups and knowing where there's going
to
be.
It's been the key to what's happened so far in this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's found those situations, and they've talked about that so consistently. We're going to let the defense dictate how we attack them.
Right.
Which sounds so awesome.
Yeah, it does. But it's a darn good problem to have,
And what I love about the way Roddy's playing is I don't think he'll ever admit it, and this is just kind of an observation that I'm having, is it's almost like a little chip on his shoulder, Julio admitted, I felt like I was getting double teamed, and Tony was kind of drawing a lot of that attention too, and Roddy's like, okay, you're really gonna do this? So here we go. But seriously, he's fourth in the league in total yards, 413. 103 yards per game right now, 3 touchdowns, and I told you this earlier, 23 of his 27 receptions are for first downs. And I was watching Turning Point again last night, and I was watching with a friend of mine, and she doesn't know anything about football. And she's like, and it just kept showing all these plays that Roddy White's making. And she's like, wow, he's awesome.
Yeah.
And I was like, of course he is. And
yeah.
That speaks volumes, because it just shows how good of a player Roddy is, and he's really, really important. And he said yesterday, someone asked him about, Julio coming in and drawing a lot of that attention, and if he ever felt, it's a question that certain media members are going to ask. If he ever felt like he was being slighted or like he was being moved out of the offense a little bit or something like that. And he's like, no way.
Right.
They're going to draw that attention, but he's like, he's here to help us.
Right.
And he's making us better.
Right.
I don't care about anything else.
And one of the things that I heard yesterday from Matt Ryan is Matt Ryan called Roddy White the most unselfish player that he's ever played with.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. Wide receivers get a bad rap in the first place for being divas. You've
right.
got your T.O.'s and your Chad Johnsons and your Randy Mosses.
Yeah.
They come with a particular attitude, and not every wide receiver abides by that. And Roddy's one of those guys who just doesn't,
Absolutely.
That's a guy who just likes to have fun, likes to have a good time, loves the game of football.
Mm-hmm.
And, you're not going to get that from him. So on a team where you've got a lot of different weapons, he's still able to be successful in large part because he's unselfish, because he just, hey, if he's going to get the ball, great. If he's not, he's going to do whatever he can to help his team win. And I think that there's no greater evidence of that than on the Michael Turner touchdown pass. Yes, Michael Turner caught a pass for a touchdown. But on that run, a 60-yarder, on that run, Roddy's downfield, and he makes that last chip block to free Turner and spring him loose. So that's where you really see how this team operates with Roddy White being that kind of guy who is just not going to be – selfish. He's not going to be a me guy.
He's a team guy, and he's going to do what it takes to win. And you love that about special players.
Absolutely. Well, let's get on to some buy or sell. I know this is your favorite time. This is my favorite time as well because I get to spend money that I don't have. All right. So, buy or sell, how it works. If we buy it, we agree with it. If we sell it, we don't want anything to do with it.
Yep.
And here is the first statement. The Falcons' offensive line gave up 7 sacks against Carolina. It's time to be concerned. Spend wisely.
Yes. I'm if there's another category of to buy or sell, that's I'm watching the market.
Seeing where it's trending.
I'm watching it, you know, because here's the deal. I mean, the O-line started strong. They've given up 11 sacks. 7 of them came last Sunday. So you can't just ignore that and say that's an anomaly. You know, Tyson Klebo, he had some struggles. He is definitely fighting through some injuries. I don't think that's a secret to anyone, you know, and there may be something to that. I'm not ready to completely buy that statement that it's time to be concerned, but there's a warning bell going off. I want to see them play better because they're really, really important to what we do on offense. So I'm gonna watch the market on that one.
Okay, all right, fine. You're gonna hedge your bets a little bit. That's fine. I'm gonna outright sell it. I think, you know, the reason people would be concerned, and this was our first disagreement, by the way.
Yes.
The reason people would buy the idea that it's time to be concerned is because of the past of this offensive line. You know, last year especially, there was so much flux. There was a lot of different things going on, new guys and new places, and it just seemed to change every week. You've got some stability there. You've got some continuity there now. I think that helps. And I think that this is just a case. You know, look, Carolina came out guns blazing on defense.
Charles Johnson had a day of all days.
I mean, they really came out. The only thing that concerns me, and Coach Smith addressed it yesterday, is you worry about other teams looking at that tape and saying, well, this is what worked for Carolina. We can do it too.
Yeah.
I think the Falcons and their coaching staff, you know, they know that that's what teams are going to do. They'll prepare for it.
That's
so I'm not totally concerned about it. But, you know, the whole thing to me is that stands out right now is that this is an offensive line that has now played together for 4 games. You know, for the most part, they were together for part of last year. You know, I think that they can turn this around. I think this is just an anomaly this year. They know, because since day one, Pat Hill has come in and said, our number one priority is to protect Matt Ryan, period. And you know that performance, 7 sacks, did not sit well with him. So I see them straightening it out, and I see that one game being an anomaly.
Okay.
But we'll see. We'll watch the market.
Yeah. Well, and if I could just jump on that, I mean, I think you make a good point. And I think one of the things we've seen from the coaching staff, especially so far, is their ability to respond to issues. You know, the running game kind of started a little slow, and I think we saw some really creative ideas on offense against the Panthers that kind of helped Michael Turner get going. You know, some extra blocking. So I feel like we may see some things to kind of make sure that maybe 7 sacks doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
So I'm comfortable with the coaching staff's ability to respond to issues and kind of get them corrected, because I think we've seen some of that. So,
fair enough.
I'm not
keep watching the market, all right?
Yeah.
You just keep watching the market.
All right.
You keep sitting on the fence. All right, let's get on to our next one, all right? Struggles on run defense signal a tough game against Washington. I go back and forth on this one a little bit. I think, you know, the Falcons obviously have shown that there are some concerns in the run defense. I think they're 29th in the league in run defense. Washington's got some interesting stuff going on with Morris and with RG3, obviously. You know, they've got a rushing attack. I think it's definitely something to kind of pay attention to in this game. I think they're going to want to run the football.
Absolutely.
I think against the Falcons. So, I'm gonna buy this one, and I'm gonna go ahead and say that it could be. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge for the Falcons to stop that running attack. But I think it can be done.
Yeah, I buy it as well. If there's something I worry about the game on Sunday, it's the Redskins' ability to run the ball. You know, Shanahan and his you know the whole blocking scheme that they run is
that zone
extremely
yeah.
successful. And I don't think it's any secret that the Redskins are going to want to run the ball against the Falcons. Alfred Morris, it was 113 yards last week against the Bucs. You know, I mean, that's the Bucs, so we'll see how that goes. But I think the Redskins' number one priority will be to run the ball. So the Falcons are going to have to stop it somehow and respond to that. But I do think one of the ways they're going to do that is, you know, I think these guys are so turnover hungry now. That I think they're gonna force an interception. They're gonna force a fumble somewhere, and I think that's kind of how maybe they help combat some of the tough running that you know, the Redskins are gonna do. Is they want to kind of get physical. They're gonna hit guys hard, and they're gonna go for the ball. So you know the Redskins may get their yards, but I think the Falcons their priority if there's a 1A stopping the run is you know physically affecting the run maybe. So we'll okay. see, but it's definitely. It's, if I have a concern, it's that one.
Okay, fair enough. Last one. This this is a good one. All right, this is the best Falcons team in franchise history. That's a strong statement right there. I am going to watch the market on this one.
I don't blame you.
I am going to, you know, set up some kind of e-newsletter that I'm a part of and yeah. keep tabs on this one. I'm not
alerted.
I'm not willing to. Yeah, I'm not willing to put a buy or sell on this one. I yeah. think, hey, you know, we're off to the best start that we could imagine. I think you've got a chance to get off to the best start in franchise history. Best Falcons team in franchise history. We've got a few games to play.
Yeah, I'm watching the market on that one too. If anything, I would say I'm selling right now. If I were forced to go one way or the other, it's just because, again, and these guys are getting asked this a lot. Not yeah. this particular question, but they're getting asked about you know 4-0 and how excited are you about it and you know all these things and so many guys are like, it's four games in and they're like, it's almost like they're the ones saying, simmer down, you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold up.
Exactly.
Let's just play yeah. this thing out first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And here's the deal. Until I feel like a team can top what the 1998 team accomplished, what 15-2, mm-hmm. whatever the record was.
Yes.
And going to the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. you kind of got to give your props to Jamal
yeah,
and
yeah.
those guys.
Yeah, you do. You do.
So,
shouts out to Jamal.
Yes.
But, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It's way too soon to tell. And to even guess at something like that. But it is something we will keep an eye on. Let's get to some Twitter questions here real quick while we got some time left.
Yes.
Hanging with Coop over there on the Twitter asks, a different Falcon has led the charge in each victory thus far. Who steps up this week?
Nice.
Who's your guy?
Good question. I'm going to say Sean Weatherspoon.
Okay.
Spoon's had some good games. But we haven't seen like a truly dynamic game from him like we saw with Aku a couple weeks back. I mean, that was like game changing, the things that Aku did on defense. So I'm gonna go with Spoon, and here's why. I think he's gonna be responsible for taking care of Fred Davis, the tight end from Washington, and he's a big factor in their offense, and he's also gonna be a factor in the run defense as well. I think he's gonna probably play a role in. I'm not going to say spying or anything like that. That's too complicated of defensive ideas for me. I don't understand all that stuff. But I think he's going to be responsible for keeping an eye on some things that RG3 is going to do. So I think he's going to play a role in that as well. I think if there's a guy on defense if I were to pick, you know, who's going to lead the charge, I'm going to say Spoon this week.
Okay. Fair enough. I am going to I'm going to go with Tony Gonzalez this week as the guy who's going to lead the charge. And I think you know, there's a couple of reasons behind that. I think one of them being, you know, you don't have Brian Arakpo who's out there. I Tony's going to be matched up in a lot of different ways as far as how they choose to defend him. You're going to have linebackers on him. You're going to have safeties on him at certain points. But I think not having a Brian Arakpo there, it's first of all, it's going to free up Matt. Second of all, I think it's one less option to cover Tony. I look back at last week's game against Carolina and 2 weeks ago, San Diego. San Diego didn't have an answer for him at all.
No.
And so I just feel like this is, you know, Roddy and Julio are going to garner most of the offensive attention, but I think this is another week for Tony.
Good call. I mean, their pass defense hasn't been the best in the league. So
right, exactly.
Some teams have put up some numbers against those guys.
Yep. All right, Kirkpatrick, 96, with a perfect record. Is there any sign of cockiness getting to our players? We just talked about that.
Yeah.
You know, they're the ones telling everybody else to calm down.
Nah. There's no cockiness at all. No. There's a confidence, and there's
sure.
there's definitely a sense of I was going to say something else, but there's a sense of pride in what they've accomplished. I think they're proud of the way they've played.
Sure.
For the most part.
And they should be.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're having a good time. And that's the best thing, I think. You know, winning cures all ills and all those things. But they're generally having a good time practicing and, you know, even talking about it with the media. There's a good attitude. There's a good vibe about the way they feel about their team right now. But certainly there's no cockiness in there.
No, I totally agree.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Good.
But and Asante Samuel, who is if there's a guy that has, you know, the most swagger and the cockiness, even if you were to go that far, on the team, you know, he was asked something like that, or I think it was, you know, grade the defense or something like that.
He's
like, we got a long way to go.
He said a 5 out of 10.
Yeah.
He said he's always tough on himself, so he said he's always going to be tough on the defense. He says 5 for right now. He says we got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
There you have it.
Right.
These are guys, you know, Tony Gonzalez was asked to grade the offense. He put it a little higher. He put it at an 8.
Yeah.
But he still recognizes there's a lot of work left to
Absolutely.
Do. Absolutely. So, you know, this is a team that knows where they are, and a lot of that you've got to credit to Mike Smith.
Absolutely.
And that's what Tony Gonzalez said today is – Mike Smith does such a great job of not letting him get too high when it's good, not letting him get too low when it's bad. And that's been the recipe for success the whole way through is we're 4-0, but now we've got to get to 5-0.
Yeah.
And after that, and after that, and after that. And I think, you know, this is a problem, or this is not a problem, but a question that is going to compound itself with each coming win.
Yeah.
You know, as this team continues to find success, and that's what we all hope,
right?
You know, and go on to potentially be unbeaten going into the bye in 2 weeks. You know, these questions are going to come up even more, and Matt Ryan's going to have to answer more MVP questions.
Yeah.
And, you know, is the undefeated record kind of affecting the team? And these are kinds of things you're going to have to answer as long as you keep winning. Good problem to have, though.
Yeah. And you and I were talking about this yesterday. We were talking about Coach Smith, and I think we talk about the Falcons as much as we do on the podcast. So that's probably our number one topic of conversation, but as it should be, right?
As it probably should.
So we were talking about Coach Smith, and you were just saying it right there, and I'm not going to say, you know, the lack of cockiness or whatever is completely attributed to Coach Smith, but I feel like Coach Smith does a great job of getting the guys into the details of what's happening, and I think they get – this is going to sound strange to say, they get lost in the details a little bit of each week and what they're trying to accomplish and the preparation that Coach Smith demands of them. Honestly, they prepare a lot. They are prepared for so many different things. You know, we talk about, you know, the schedule that they follow when they travel out west and the success that they've had there. And I think that speaks to Coach Smith's attention to detail and all those things. And I think one of the reasons Coach Smith does that is to kind of get those guys focused on what really needs to happen and not worrying about all of the fluff and everything that's happening on the outside of a 4-0 start or really any kind of start for that matter. I think that preparation is really interesting, and I think Coach Smith. But you're right. I think Coach Smith is a big part of the team's attitude right now.
I'm with you.
Good.
Good.
Yes.
All right, we got one more question here. Right. Nick Elliott, 65. Outside of new schemes, what have the Falcons done differently this year than last to be so successful? I don't know that it's anything that they've consciously done differently. I think it's not a situation where you're scrapping something and then starting over. I think this is just an evolution. Mm-hmm. What you're seeing is just the next step in an evolution of a team that is building itself with a quality core of players. I think the schemes have helped. I think it fits this team. Everything that they're doing on the field is working, and it just seems that for me anyway, that this is just another step in the maturity, the growth of the 5-year guys, the 4-year guys who make up the core of this team. To me, it's as simple as that. It's not really that any mindset has changed or anything like that. It's just
I think it's
the next step.
The evolution, you're right. I just think that the team is continuing to evolve. They're growing up right before our very eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, and you think about Thomas Dekou, like you said, his 5th year. You know, these guys are really coming into their own. You know, Sean Weatherspoon takes a step forward in leadership, but he's been mentored. He's been prepared to do that, from Mike Peterson and some of the things that he's helped him with along the way. The change in coordinators has had an impact, but it was these guys were it's a good fit. The coordinator fits are good for the player personnel that the Falcons have, and they've grown up. Those schemes have allowed them to continue to evolve. It hasn't held them back, and I don't think there's anything you can really point to that says, oh, there's one thing outside of the schemes that has had them help them be so successful. No mindset changes, like you said. No special book that they read in the off season or anything like that.
No, it's just the evolution of confidence, the evolution of believing in themselves, the evolution of trust.
Absolutely.
Which are topics that we've written about on AtlantaFalcons.com here recently. Just that's kind of the crux of the whole thing, is that these guys believe in each other. There's a lot of trust there, but it just continues to grow with every year. Yeah. And
the locker room is very strong.
Very strong. Yep. Very strong, very tight locker room.
Yeah.
A lot of good people. And I think that's one of those things that helps you win regardless. It's just, I don't know.
The guys like to play with each other.
Yeah.
You know, they like to play football and they enjoy playing, on the same team together.
And if there was any difference, I would say maybe it's that. Maybe it's that you see it more. Mm-hmm. You see them having fun more. You know, they're a little looser. They're not so uptight, I think. And I think that, if anything, maybe there's a change in the environment, the atmosphere. Just, there's pressure on this team. But you know what? We're just going to go with the flow.
Yeah.
And it's a great mindset to have.
Absolutely.
So that's my thought on it.
That's mine too.
Well, we've just told everybody our thoughts then.
Yes. I think that's what the podcast is all about.
That is exactly what we're here to do.
Yes.
Well, let's wrap it up, shall we?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, Falcons fans, thanks again for checking in with us this week. We will be back again next week after we take care of business up in Washington.
Yep.
Join us next week. Thanks a lot.